Take your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 12, the first book in the New Testament of your scripture, Matthew and chapter number 12. Welcome to our His Design class this morning. Great to see each and every one of you here this morning. We're grateful that you've come and take some time out of your morning to be with us. It's great to see folks being faithful. It's good to see some folks who have been new to the class in the last couple of weeks. Being back with us and developing a routine of joining us on Sunday mornings at 10. Some were commenting on the temperature of the room. And so if you're new to His Design, the perfect temperature of any room is Meat Locker. That's the way it works. So anyway, we're getting you ready for summer. We want you to know this is the place to come. Free air conditioning every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., all right? So you want to be faithful throughout the summer months and enjoy the cool room. And no, there really is a thought behind it as we fill it up with people. We want to make sure we're ready for that. And we don't want you falling asleep. So the cooler temperatures help with that as well. But we're looking forward to a great time together. I'm excited about all that Brother Sean talked about. We got a lot of exciting events right around the corner and want to encourage our class to take advantage of as much as you can. Today is our First Responders Day, and we have some in our class that serve in that capacity. We're so grateful for those who make our community a wonderful place in which to live and a safe place. We think of some of the things going on in our country even today, and I am thankful for the first responders, the law enforcement, and those that respond in times of need and crisis. And let's be sure as we run into them today to thank them for what they do and let them know we're praying for them. And you say, well, I got a ticket one time I didn't think I deserved. Well, we probably all think that. But you know what? We are thankful for those in our community who help make it safe and a wonderful place to live. And today is our opportunity to thank them and minister to them. So I want to encourage you to do that. I'm excited about getting our series today, The Secrets of Successful Families, and just kind of pulling back and studying what makes happy, functional homes tick. What are some ingredients that they have that we want to have? And some of these lessons might just affirm in your heart, boy, we're doing well in this area. Some lessons might be, hey, that's something we want to work on or add to make sure that our home is functioning indeed as God designed. And I'm excited today to get into this lesson on positive communication. Positive communication. And this may be 2 weeks. As I was studying for it this week, this may take more than today. But communication is one of the top three reasons families fail, is communication. And I'm really excited to just kind of park here and just talk about how we talk in our home and the importance of having positive communication, and it's something we have to work at. In fact, tact is one of those lost arts in our society today. I heard about a man who lacked this ability to, you know, kind of have a little tact or talk with kindness or be positive maybe when something wasn't quite going right. He was just kind of the person who would just say whatever needed to be said, and it maybe wasn't phrased politically correct or graciously. It was just kind of out there for all to hear. Well, he and his wife owned a poodle, and this was a dog and whom they just really loved. It was the object of their affection. The Lord had not blessed them with any children, so this basically was that for them. And they both were very fond of this particular poodle. Well, the wife decided that she was going to take a long trip, and go overseas for a time, and he wasn't able to go because of his work schedule. And so she had her first day of travel. She made it as far as to New York. She was going to stay there for a while on a layover and then head out from there. And she called home, and she was talking with her husband and finding out how things were. And then she said, by the way, how's the dog? And of course, this was, you know, something, it's not a person, but she loved the dog as if it were her only child. And he said, honey, I'm sorry, the dog is dead. She was devastated. I mean, she just was in complete shock at the news she had just received. And after collecting her thoughts, she thought for a moment and she said, why do you do that? Why do you just come out and to say it like that? Why don't you kind of ease me into it to help me cope with something of this tragic loss? And he said, well, what do you mean? I don't even understand how to communicate quite like that. And she said, well, for example, when I called you from my layover here in New York, you could have said something like, the dog got stuck on the roof, and you were trying to kind of work through that situation. And then maybe when I got to London the next day at my next layover and I called, and you could say that the dog had to be taken to the vet and that he wasn't doing well and that it was not looking good for him in his future. And then finally, when I got to Rome, I could have called and you could have said, honey, brace yourself. Our dog has passed away. He was not able to make it. She said, if you did that, I could cope much easier with such a tragic loss. And he paused and he said, oh, okay, honey, well, I'll work on that. They talked for another moment later. And she said, honey, now, by the way, how is mother? He paused and he said, she's on the roof. So sometimes you got to work on how to phrase what you're trying to say and make sure that it is coming across in a positive way. And that's what we're going to talk about today, positive communication. Now, happy, successful families talk. Happy, successful families talk. They have the ability to communicate. They are able to work through their problems. Dysfunctional homes do not talk. Or they will not talk, or they talk in the wrong way. Proper and positive communication are key to successful families. And one of the most important factors of a healthy marriage and family is good communication. The ability to affirm one another in the relationship and the ability to resolve conflict in a positive manner. Listen, what is marriage? An everlasting covenant commitment between an imperfect man and an imperfect woman. Then you add children to it, who the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So you got a mess you're starting with anyway. You're going to have problems. You're going to face difficulties. It's going to be an uphill climb at times. There's going to be conflict. That's the common denominator all of us have in this room when it comes to our families. The difference maker is, how do we talk? How do we work through it? How do we resolve? How do we get through that conflict and come out on the other side? And we need positive communication to do that. Closeness in our homes that we need can only be developed through healthy communication. And we need to understand the importance of communication, and Satan certainly does. Satan knows what a powerful element this is in our homes, and that's why he's always trying to prohibit us from communicating or to poison our communication. So yeah, we communicate, but it's not producing anything good because Satan has us off on a tangent in one way or another. Now, words are very powerful. And as we lay kind of an introductory groundwork here for a minute, I want us to see what the Bible says concerning the manner of communication. You went to Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 36. The Bible says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Listen, every word we just spoke, drinking our Starbucks and eating our donuts this morning, we're going to give an account in eternity. Every word we spoke this morning on our way to church, we're going to give an account of in eternity. Every word we spoke in our home this morning getting ready for church, we're going to give an account of in eternity. Every word we spoke in our home this week, we're going to give an account of in eternity. That's the weight of our communication. God says, I'm interested in every word, every idle word. Did you notice that? The words that maybe we just kind of said off the cuff. Have we all not had to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I just kind of got caught in the moment. Every idle word, every unplanned word, every word we speak means much to the Lord. And so the Bible is saying, every word, every significant word, every idle word is recorded in heaven, and we're going to give an account. It's a big deal to God. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 in your notes. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Is the words we're communicating in our home giving life, positivity, energy, or is it bringing death? Negativity and everybody running for cover because of the communication that's happening. Words can easily kill or they can bring life, and the choice is ours. How will we Communicate. If we're going to have a good marriage and a good family, we're going to communicate well. If we have a bad marriage or a dysfunctional home, we're not communicating as we should. You don't have this passage, and I'm sorry for that, but listen to this from James chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, and I'll read it. The Bible says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us and turn about their whole body." Verse 4, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Isn't it amazing what one post on a Facebook page can create? "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind." You ever been to a show at a park, and they bring out these great killer whales, and they'll go do whatever the trainer says. But listen to what the Bible says. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Boy, we can tame lions and we can tame killer whales and we can tame this and we can tame that and they can do all these things at our command. But the Bible says, listen, the tongue can no man tame. It has the power of life and death. It can be doing great things in your home or it can be tearing it down every time you open your mouth. And one of the ways that we can learn to produce positive communication in our homes and use these biblical principles to our advantage is to know what unhealthy communication looks like. Sometimes we can't get to what we know we need to do until we know what we're doing is not right. So we're going to take a little bit of introductory time and just kind of be a family. My name is Gabe. I'm your friend. We're going to do fine, all right? But we're going to spend a little bit of time by way of introduction, and we're going to study some characteristics of communication that's not right. In fact, I want us to look at six traits of destructive communication. And this is to help us step back and have an honest assessment. Are there some things in our relationships, our marriage, our home, in which by we may be communicating that are not right? Because then we need to make them right according to the principles of the Word of God. So what are some destructive communication traits we want to steer away from? Number one, silence. Silence. Rather than talking about issues and resolving them relationally, many people use silence to both punish and intimidate their spouse and families. Instead of talking things through, they just kind of clam up. At the first sign of tension or conflict, the healthy thing to do is to sit down and talk about it. But it takes someone with enough guts, if you will, to sit down and confront somebody and to work something out. And oftentimes, instead of doing that, we will just be silent. And silence can be such a dangerous thing in our relationships. It's a non-relational, anti-social form of behavior, and it communicates to people we don't care, and it causes problems to drag on and on and on and on. You ever been there? You ever been there in your relationships where it's like, how is this taking so long? Because nobody's talking about it. How has this little thing become so big? Because nobody's talking about it. Or we're not talking about it in the right way. We're communicating about it wrongly. Silence is a destructive communication trait. And I want to encourage our class. And listen, a lot of times we will bring wrong communication traits into our relationship because of other relationships. Might be the way we were raised. Might be some relationships in our past before we knew the Lord. And we bring those unhealthy traits to our current family. And I want to tell you something. There's hope for every person in this room to communicate right because there's the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Everyone in this room, including this preacher, can be a new creature in Christ. So we can come from a terrible background with unhealthy communication skills and the worst of examples, and we can learn to communicate in a way that honors and pleases the Lord. Amen. We can learn to communicate in a way that strengthens our relationship with our spouse and strengthens our relationship with our children, as the Lord provides for that in our homes, we can do it in a way that honors and pleases Him. But we've got to step back and know, what am I doing wrong? And it may be silence. If we're not saying anything, that's not the right approach. It's telling people we don't care. Secondly, verbal abuse. Verbal abuse is a very destructive communication trait. What are we talking about this morning? Well, this could mean cursing. It ought not be in a Christian's home we're cursing at one another. This could be name-calling, degrading, talking people down. This could be yelling at somebody. Oftentimes, when we raise our voice to shout at somebody, they really can't hear what we're trying to say because the way we're saying it is so overpowering the message. And especially for every parent in this room, we're setting a terrible example. Why? Because the Bible talks about a man who doesn't have control over his own spirit like a city without walls of protection. When a man or a woman cannot control themselves and they start yelling and slamming doors and hitting stuff and throwing stuff and slamming stuff down, they're basically just saying, "Hello, I'm out of control." That's what they're saying. And their children watch as their parents put on a show to say, "I have no control." You know what buttons to push? And when you push them, watch out, here it goes. And they get their chair and their popcorn, and then there you go. And it's like a city without walls of protection. It's a spirit with no control. And a destructive communication trait is verbal abuse, where this type of thing is happening. Maybe where we're belittling one another or threatening one another. If you do that, we begin to threaten or demand from one another. And these are characteristics of verbal abuse. Now, our children should not hear us speak this way. And you say, "Brother Rule, my goodness, we've only known the Lord for 3 weeks, and this is all brand new to us." Listen, there's a change that happens when God begins to indwell us and help us with how to speak. And by the way, we could be around church and the things of the Lord a long time and still need a reminder of how to speak. Amen. We've all had to go to somebody and say, "I'm sorry. I should not have said that," or "I should not have said it that way." And our children should see an example in us of how to communicate. And then we've got to be careful how we speak to our children. We are never going to accomplish through verbal abuse in the hearts of our children what we could accomplish through careful nurturing. You're not going to make up for not spending time with your kids and training them by just yelling at them. It's not going to happen. You're just going to drive them further away. You're going to further exasperate the problem. The problem is that they not need to be yelled at. The problem is they need to be taught. They need to be trained. They need to be loved. They need time with you. Don't yell at them. Take some time off. Take them and go walk around the park for an hour and spend some time. Take your boy and go throw a ball. Take your girl and go get her nails done. Go do something and train them. Spend some time with them. But let's be sure we're avoiding this destructive character trait of verbal abuse. Thirdly, what's something else we need to be aware of? Manipulation. Many parents and spouses use verbal manipulation to control one another to get their way. Now, what do we mean by manipulation? Manipulation is the use of dishonesty, partial truth, or truth for the purpose of one's own advantage. You know what's at the foundation of manipulation? Selfishness. Life is all about me. And so the communication in my home is then through the lens or through the paradigm of how is this going to benefit me. And so I'm manipulating all the time. And as I talk to my spouse or as I talk to my children, it all has an end game that somehow benefits me or helps me in some way. And people can see through that, and it's very, very destructive. But we want to be careful not to be involved in manipulation. Fourthly, erratic or inconsistent behavior. Another destructive trait of communication is erratic and inconsistent behavior. Now, in a dysfunctional home, one day you're an angel, and the next day you're the devil. I mean, one day you come in and all is well. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. Dinner is ready. The house is clean. Everything is great. The next day you come in and you just run to your room because you don't know what next outburst is coming. There's a lot of erratic and inconsistent behavior. Now, an atmosphere of insecurity and mistrust prevails in an unpredictable, moody environment at home. Now, ladies, can I pick on you for a minute? Too late. I'm going to do it anyway. No. The lady has so much to say about the spirit of the home. The environment, the atmosphere, the spirit, the mood, the temperature, the attitude has so much to do with the lady in the home. She just has a way of swaying that. It's something I believe that God has given her because that's an area where she does so much. And it's vital that our children are raised in an environment of consistency. Now listen, none of us feel the same probably every day all the time. None of us get out of the morning and, hey, it's a great day. Here we go. It's going to be wonderful today. And we get in the mirror, you know, you are good. You are great. You know, none of us feel like that all the time. You know, man, you look good today. You know, whatever. It's not that way all the time. But our children need an environment of consistency. And erratic and inconsistent behavior is a destructive communication trait. Now, listen. Sometimes this erratic behavior is pinned on a physical illness or ailment of some sort. Now, let me just talk with you. I'm not a doctor. Let me just talk with you as a pastor. If you have a medical condition that is causing you to go through this kind of a pattern, number one, you want to seek professional medical help. Number two, you want to be honest with your family about it. Number three, you want to prayerfully consider the treatment and medication plan. Here's what I'm going to say, and again, I'm not a doctor, but we live in a culture and a society when you go into a medical professional, more often than not, the solution is you need more medication. We over-medicate in America for everything. And oftentimes, have you ever read the side effects of some of those? I mean, one day you're going to love your family, the next day you're going to want to kill them. One day you're going to love yourself, the next day. I mean, it's crazy. Now, I've had family members who went through some very difficult medical bouts, my aunt in particular, for years and years and years. In fact, her office and I were adjacent one to another, and the amount of pills she had to take every day was just an unbelievable thing to stay alive. She wore a bag for nutrition for 18 months, did not eat food. So I've been around people who have some real medical problems and have had to have some medication in order to live. And I understand all that. I'm not demeaning that in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying this morning, you want to know yourself and you want to communicate with your family and you want to make sure that if there's something that needs to be resolved, it's getting resolved so that you can have as consistent of behavior as possible. Because everybody suffers when it's erratic and unpredictable. It needs to be consistent. Dad needs to know what he's coming home to every day. Kids need to know what they're coming home to every day. Mom needs to know what she's coming home to every day. It all needs to be as consistent as it can. And when it's not, it's a destructive communication trait. Number five, dishonesty. Dishonesty is a destructive communication trait. Family communication, above all else, must be honest. We've got to be honest one with another. Now, sometimes we're not honest because it's the easy way out to lie about it. Maybe our kids ask us something we don't want to answer. Maybe our spouse wants to know something we don't want to come forward with. Maybe something happens in the course of life and we just think, well, if I skirt around that, it'll be easier and I won't have to deal with it. Now, honesty is not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy. Honesty never ruined a relationship. Dishonesty has over and over and over again. Because here's the thing. The Bible teaches you and I, when you sow a seed in the ground, what happens? It comes up. So we can lie about where we've sown the seeds, but eventually they're coming up. And now we've got to lie more to explain why they're coming up that we never put in the ground. And now this one lie has led to two, and two has led to 10, and 10 has led to 100, and we can't even keep track of it all, and nobody believes us anyway. when what we should have done from day one was be honest. Just be honest. And sometimes it's looking in the eyes of those in which we love and saying, this is the truth and I'm sorry. But I'm not going to lie about this again. And being honest. Dishonesty is a destructive communication trait. Sometimes we're dishonest because we're in denial. And we need to come to grips with where we are, and we need to be honest about it with those in whom we love. So we got to avoid dishonesty. Number six, secret keeping. Secret keeping. Now, all of us have confidential issues that need to stay within the four walls of our home. Amen for that, right? We've all told our kids, this is only in the family type business, right? But if there's something destructive going on in your home, then you need to talk to somebody and get some help. Successful families honor confidentiality. They get it. Some things, family only, need to know basis. But they do not cover up destruction or sin. If something is going on in the home that's illegal, we got to get some help. If something's going on in the home that's abusive, we got to get some help. If we've been dysfunctional for a period of time on a consistent pattern, we need to go talk to a pastor or somebody and get some help. A successful family is not a family that continues to run into the same hurdle over and over and over and over and over again and say, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. And if we're in a season of dysfunction or destruction or habitual sin problem, then we need to go get some help. And certainly if it's a legal issue or an abusive issue, we need to get some help right away. It's not a loving thing to say, well, we're not going to tell people about that because we're family. If something's happening that's against the Word of God or is abusive and illegal in some way, we need to get some help and get some people involved in that to help those in whom we love. So secret keeping can be a very destructive communication trait. So we're taking a few minutes just to kind of paint a picture. Listen, we all want positive communication, but here's some communication that can hurt the home. And we want to kind of assess our own home and our own lives and see where we might be. Now, once we understand and identify these destructive communication traits, then we want to look at some foundations to implement into our home for positive communication. I want us to look, beginning today and finish next week, at four important foundations for building an atmosphere of positive communication. Number one, the foundation of a positive atmosphere. The foundation of a positive atmosphere. Now, you're never really going to be able to talk in your family if the atmosphere is all of emotional darkness, negativity, and criticism. If every time you darken the doorstep of your home, there's just a cloud that hovers there, nobody's really going to open up and communicate as they should. And we have to have a positive atmosphere if we're going to have the kind of communication that we should have in our family relationships. Now, Psalms teaches us a powerful truth related to our Lord. Look at Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now, according to this scripture, the secret to entering into the presence of God is praise and thanksgiving. God says, I want you to enter into my presence, praising my name and thanking me for who I am and what I've done for you. It's a powerful truth and an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for you and I to develop a positive atmosphere in our home, we have to have a daily discipline of praise. Every day we have to praise something, someone about something going on. We've got to be a person of praise. I love the verse in Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's read that verse together. Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There is always something to be thankful for, and praise finds it every time. In our lives, we are so often told by culture, you need to focus on what you don't have. Oh, look at that person. They have whatever. Floyd Mayweather made $180 million last night. You have nothing. Or look at that guy in his car. Look at his raise. And look at his house. And look at her whatever. And we're always told, look at the stuff you don't have. Covet, envy, wish you had it, work two jobs, never go to church again, do whatever it takes, climb the hill, climb the ladder, give it what you need, then you'll be happy, only to arrive and find out you're more miserable there than you were before. That's the culture in which we live. And God says, today's a gift. Go through today and find something you're happy about. We live in America, the greatest country on the globe. I can walk. I have hands that work. I have eyes that can see. I have ears that can hear. I have a mind that can reason most of the time. I'm in fairly good health. God has blessed me with an amazing bride. God has blessed us with four awesome kids. I get to go to Lancaster Baptist Church.
Amen.
I get to be a part of the His Design Couples class.
Amen.
I get to know you. I get to serve the Lord with my life. I have so many blessings. And if I'll just take time to think about all the things I have to be thankful for, I can't help but praise God for His goodness to us. Above all, if I were to face eternity today, I would spend an eternity in heaven. I don't deserve that. If Gabriel Rule got what he deserved, I'd spend an eternity in hell. But because of God and His love, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, the gift of His life, death, burial, and resurrection, I know, 1 John 5:13, that I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven. Well, I've got a lot to be thankful for. And I need to live a life of praise because it'll help me to focus on what to be thankful for. Now listen, if we fail to praise and be thankful, then without fail, we will begin to be negative and critical. So you are either pursuing a path of praise and thankfulness, or you are pursuing a path of negativity and criticism. You're not neutral. You're going one way or the other. And I'm challenging you, me, us, together this morning in this class, let's all choose we're moving in this direction. We're going towards praise and gratitude. We're going to get up every day and think, boy, what do I have to be thankful for? Boy, what do I love about my spouse? What do I love about my children? What do I love about my life? What do I love about my job? Boy, Brother Rule, if you knew my job, there's nothing to love. You're wrong. I don't know what your job is, but you're wrong. There's something to love. You have a job. That's a blessing. I'd rather work than have somebody hand me something any day of my life. You've got something to be thankful for. You might work around unsaved people. That's something to be thankful for. You've got an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might work with a brother or sister in Christ. That's something to be thankful for. You've got another brother or sister in Christ to fellowship with. You might work for a wonderful person. That's a blessing. You can thank them for the job. You might work for a jerk. That's a blessing. You can be an encouragement to them. If you think of it, there's something indeed to be thankful for. We want to be moving in the direction of praise and gratitude and not negativity and criticism. Now, when we praise, listen to this as we close. When we praise, we earn the right to correct. Now, I've read this so many times in my life, but listen to it. For every negative comment we make, it takes 7 positive comments to make up for it. Susanna, this week or last, was telling me with one of our kids, honey, you got to be careful to praise her a lot. She's in a season right now where every reproof is magnified and every compliment is almost not even heard. And Susanna was helping me to be in tune with one of the of our children, where their heart was at this season in their life. But we've got to constantly be reminded, 7 positive comments to outweigh 1 negative comment. Now, I'm not saying don't give good instruction to your kids and correction and reproof and all that. The Bible says to do it. In fact, the Bible says if you don't do it, you don't even love them. But we are learning, you've got to have a lot of positive comments to balance it all out. So if our ratio is not 7 positive comments to 1 negative comment in any of our relationships, we're going towards negativity and criticism. We are not building positive communication if there's not a lot of positive comments made. Now let's bring that all the way down to brass tacks right here. Okay? What positive thing do we say to our spouse this week? What thing do we look at them in the eye and say, thank you for this? Or I love you because of this? Or I'm grateful because of this? What was it? What positive thing do we say to our children? Are there positive comments in which we are communicating? And even when we have to correct, it can be done in a positive way. Man, Joseph, come here, buddy. I love you, man. You're doing great. Now, when mom says to do this, remember, we do it right away, and we go do it this way. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, man, here we go. Not, I can't believe that, you little jerk. There's a positive way to deal with things, even when you have to correct, and there's a negative way. Now, today we have pulled back the curtain on some negative communication traits. And all of us today need to analyze, though, and say, Lord, help that not to be a part of the DNA of my life or our home. Then, what do we do to build it up? We need the foundation of a positive atmosphere. We're going to study the other three next week. But let's work together this week at building a positive atmosphere in our home. How does it begin? Praise and thanksgiving. We want to praise God and thank Him for His goodness to us, and then we want to praise each other. What kind thing can you say to your spouse tomorrow? What kind thing can you say to your children tomorrow? How about a note in their lunch pail or briefcase or purse or whatever? Just communicate positivity. For every negative, seven positives. Let's work at having a positive atmosphere in our homes. Heavenly Father, we sure love You. Thank You for Your Word and its relevance to our lives today. I pray that we would work to communicate biblically, positively, constructively in our homes. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to identify these negative traits and get them out of our lives and homes, and then to work together to have a positive atmosphere that we may communicate as we should. Bless our class. Bless these families, I pray. Bring us back safely next week as we continue this lesson and celebrate Mother's Day. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.